The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
You're listening to
Wrestling to the Max.
Alert, alert, clear all channels.
This is an exclusive.
How you like that?
Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Leeser.
King of Sport. New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this very special W2M Extra. I am your host, Paul Leeser, and usually I do these with Sean Garmer, but he had a family emergency he had to take care of. I'm doing this by myself, one, because I'm going on vacation next week, I won't be around, and my Saturday and Sunday are just jam-packed getting ready for all of that. And I don't want to put Sean and he's going to be doing the G1 reviews with Tom Reese, who's a phenomenal human being and a terrific New Japan and pure wrestling fan in general. He's been watching it since before myself and Sean were born. I don't want them to have to review four shows on a Monday or something like that after having to do everything that's coming up this weekend, because as I'm doing this show right now, it's about 3-something a.m., Central, and that means that night 9 of the G1 is about to get underway in about an hour. So I'm going to knock these out, get this out here for you guys to listen to, give you my thoughts at least, and then if Sean and Tom want to talk about them at a later date, then they're more than welcome to do so. But I'm going to do this to help everybody out here. So we're going to open with G1 night 7 that took place on the 26th, block A. They open the block matches. Well, first off, I've been watching the tags. Nothing overly important like on the previous nights really happens on either of these. And neither of the tags, I would say were out of this world to where you should go out of your way to watch them either. So getting to all the block stuff now, which is the stuff people care about. Night 7 opens with Tomohiro Ishii taking on Yoshihashi. Chaos explodes, obviously. And they're telling a story here of Yoshi throughout the G1, I think, for fighting from underneath. He's fighting all the big stars here in Block A, which, as I've said on multiple occasions, is just stacked top to bottom with talent and big names. And here he is against maybe one of the toughest human beings alive in Ishii. And they just go out there and have really what Ishii's great at. It's a big brawl. Lots of big strikes back and forth, and it's almost like Yoshi is trying to prove that he not only belongs in Chaos, but that he can compete with all these names. So he's trying to meet everybody at their own game, and it's just not working. About halfway through the match, he switches over and tries to go for that butterfly lock that he became so famous for last G1, and that just doesn't pay off, really, as Ishii just keeps fighting and fighting and throwing lariats and tossing Yoshi around before he finally hits him with the sliding D, big brain buster, gets the win and the 2 points. It's an incredible match. I don't know if this is 4-star territory, but it's pretty darn close, and I would recommend that. Tomohiro Ishii's been phenomenal this tournament, so is Yoshi. And really, most of the Block A stuff has delivered every single time, and this is just no exception. So I would definitely go watch all of these for sure. And then moving right along from there, you have Zack Sabre Jr. taking on Bad Luck Fale. About 10 minutes, maybe round about that sweet spot that you want to keep a Fale match to. But this has worked very smartly as well, because Zack Sabre is sort of trying to work around and get whatever body part Fale leaves out there for him to lock into a submission, and Fale simply overpowers him most of the time, and just continues to fight off all the submissions that Zach keeps trying to put on. Eventually, he manages to catch Fale with a rake in the eyes as he's getting ready to eat the grenade, and ends up rolling him up for a quick three count, and really almost stealing one here, because Fale dominates most of the match. And I mean, say what you will so far about Fale, but I think he's performed pretty admirably throughout this tournament for, one, how limited he is, and two, how big of a talent gap between himself and everybody else in this block is. And that's absolutely no slight on Fale, because I think he's very talented for what he can do. But you just look at who he's in the ring with, and it's been phenomenal so far. And I think I don't know if Naito's really learned the formula here, but I would say that's really might have been his only bad or average outing. I shouldn't say bad, because none of this has been bad, but certainly this was a good match in that 3-star territory if you're going to go with star ratings. I might rely on that too, seeing as it's just me sort of babbling on here about how great all this is, because I don't have Sean to usually bounce all this off of. So Zack Sabre does win. He gets another 2 points, and I'll go over all the standings after this at the end. And then that moves us right along here. Togi Makabe taking on Kota Ibushi. We've seen Ibushi stand and bang with Ishii. He does much of the same here, pretty much against Makabe, except this time it doesn't really work out for him, because Makabe ain't here playing games, and Kota looks to fly a lot more in this one, which proves to ultimately be his undoing. Makabe hits a Pele down the stretch, hits a knee drop on Ibushi, and then just keeps pouring on offense all the way around until he finally hits the King Kong knee drop and puts him away. And I think the crowd's super invested in Kota at this point. No matter where they go, they want to see him succeed. They want to see him do well. And this is one of those wins that I don't think a lot of people might have predicted, because it's just so hard to figure out what they're going to do with Makabe during this tournament. Excuse me. And getting wins like this against the bigger stars, it's kind of a head scratcher at times. And at other times you'd be like, well, you know, it's a long tournament and these guys got to get wins somewhere and somebody's got to take a fall. And on this night, it happened to be Kota, and this might throw a lot of people's predictions off, because I know a lot of people out there are picking Ibushi and Omega in the finale, but I at this point, I don't know. And we're a little past halfway, and I'm not sold that's where they want to go right now. Maybe somewhere down the road, maybe yes. But for now, I think Kota might just end up with like 10, 12 points. I had him getting 14. So I think at this point he would have to win out to be able to hold my prediction true, but he's got a lot of big matches still left ahead of him, so we'll just have to wait and see what's going on. But I don't like his chances of winning this so far. And granted, that just might be an overreaction to Makabe beating him, but so far it's been pretty even tilt for him the entire way through, so we'll just have to wait and see what they want to do there. And this brings us, of course, to our co-main event for the evening, as Yuji Nagata takes on Tetsuya Naito. Naito, every bit the bitter punk, looking to overthrow Nagata and his old manness. And Nagata just continues to be impressive night after night. Tags, singles, it doesn't matter. The guy's here to put on a show and make sure you remember his last performance. He wants to go out with a bang, and gosh darn it, he just can't seem to get that win, even though he keeps getting close every time. And this one, he just comes up short because Naito's faster. He ends up fighting off the Tornado DDT, but eventually falls to two Destinos, which I don't know. This isn't the first time that they've really done multiple Destinos, because it used to be pretty protected, and now it feels like it kind of isn't anymore. And maybe it's just because, you know, Nagata trying to, you know, summon up all that fighting spirit that he has left in his old manness and all that. But I don't know. I think this might be the third out of all the matches that he's done so far where he's had to hit two Destinos or more to win. So I don't know. Naito winning here is definitely the right call, though. I still don't see Nagata getting that big win until the last night there at Tokyo Sumo Hall. and Ryo Goku for everybody else. And boy, I just love Nagata. I don't think I can really tell you exactly how much I've enjoyed it. I think he's been one of the brightest spots in Block A. Worth the, I mean, 3.5, I think it might be the lowest he's gone so far. And the dude is well above 45, I think. I think he's pushing 50 now. So, I mean, just what a talent. What a great wrestler. And I just can't speak well enough about him. But Naito gets the 2 points tonight, or on this night, excuse me. And then, of course, that brings us to the main event of the evening. Tanahashi takes on Hirooki Goto. Damn near 20 minutes. Absolutely terrific match. Match of the night for sure. Goto's been stellar this tournament. Tanahashi's been stellar this tournament. They keep telling that story with a shoulder. And really, I think this just plays more into the fact that Goto is the bridesmaid, right? He's can't seem to get the big wins when they matter most. And maybe it's just because Tanahashi is going to be so well protected in this because they don't want to give away too many Intercontinental title matches. But I really thought Goto was a lock to win this one, and not so. Tanahashi with the big run, essentially. Rolling neck breakers, sling blade, the high cross to set up for the high fly flow. That's all she wrote. And man, as much as I love Goto and as much as I would have loved to see him challenge for that title, maybe he's just not done with the Never division or wherever they're going to put him. But this win in the G1 officially makes Tanahashi the person with the most G1 victories in his career. And that is super impressive. Not only a testament to his skill, but obviously, you know, he's been the guy that got New Japan out through the Dark Ages, as a lot of people call him. He's been their guy, the go-to guy, for a long time. And that hasn't gone away. And even though he's wrestling essentially with one arm, he's still putting on these absolutely phenomenal matches. So maybe wrestler of the, you know, best wrestler of the past 10 years might not be too far of a stretch, really, at this point with how good this guy's been. And that does it for your night seven there. After that, you have Zack Sabre, Tetsuya Naito, and Hiroshi Tanahashi all tied at 6 at 3 victories and 1 loss. Then you have Bad Luck Fale, Hirooki Goto, Tomohiro Ishii, Togi Makabe, and Kota Ibushi all at 4 points. Yoshihashi has 2, and Yuji, of course, remains pointless. Score-wise, not at all match-wise, though. Guy has just been terrific. So I would, honest to God, recommend every single one of those matches. They're all great. They're all good to great. Some of them bordering on Match of the Year candidacy, like the main event, but just go watch that entire night of G1 action. You won't be disappointed at all. And then that moves us on to the next night, Night 8, which takes place on the 27th. The last one was on 26th, obviously, and they took a break, and they're coming back tonight. And Block B opens Night 8 with Tama Tonga taking on Juice Robinson. This is a really interesting matchup, too, because the crowd is just so into Juice. They love him so much. He's gotten over very quickly. Tama Tonga still looking, I think, to really break out with the crowd, but I think his work in this tournament has been great so far. Once again, another guy who I don't think's produced anything under 3 stars has had that great story with Kenny Omega that I think got a lot of people's attention back at Kuroken, and he ends up coming away with a victory here with a nice gun stun as people continue to attack that knee that Juice suffered a lot of damage from Minoru Suzuki from during the attack a couple nights ago. And it's played into such a great fight underneath story for Juice to work with that I think people, no matter what, he could have, whenever he faces, or I don't think he's faced Okada yet. I'm blanking because it's late, but any big star that he's going to come up against, it might, you know, as much as people love Omega and Okada, they're going to be pulling for Juice, which is just going to be insane to see. And honestly, something I'm really looking forward to. So, go Juice go, even though he hasn't done terrific points wise and I don't think a lot of us were expecting him to. Tama Tonga gets those much needed 2 points. I think it's more important for Tonga to win here too. Everybody's already into Juice. They're trying to sell you on Tama, and I think they're doing a pretty decent job of that so far. So Moving right along, Sonata taking on Toru Yano. This is more what we were looking forward to, right? Five minutes. Sonata having to try to stay one step ahead of Yano, who comes out throwing all the tricks. And eventually Sonata has enough, throws Yano to the outside. They go up the ramp. He ties him up out on the entryway in the Paradise Lock. Tapes him, tapes his hands to his ring gear essentially, and walks back into the ring and wins by countout. So, it's not the same Yano matches that you've become accustomed to in the G1s, which I think is kind of what they're trying to go for here. They're trying to vary it up some for you if you've been a longtime fan, and I thought this was fine. This worked perfectly into what Yano does. This is what I've been wanting to see. It's just short, fun, and to the point, and just good work all the way around. And it's a night off for Sonata, who's worked very hard throughout this tournament so far, too. And another 2 points for him. So that's great, too. And then we get maybe what some people would call an upset. I can't remember if I picked this or not, but Suzuki takes on Evil. Suzuki has Desperado with him, and Evil, of course, comes out alone. Lots of back and forth fights, brawls, all that fun stuff. You have the usual spots, I think, from Evil. They spend a lot of time on the outside, and eventually you get what both factions are really known for. You have Suzuki Gun members run in, you have LIJ members in to run them off, and Suzuki hits Evil with a chair and looks to hit him once again. But the referee steps in, removes the chair, which allows Evil to go on the attack. Suzuki goes for the sleeper, but Evil flips out or rolls out of it, essentially hits the STO, gets the 1-2-3, the upset win. I'm sure he'll get a never open weight title match, maybe a King of Pro Wrestling, but certainly sooner rather than later, which is great. I think Evil would be fantastic for that championship. And this was fine. This was exactly what it was going to be, especially with all the shenanigans that seemed to be pointing towards Suzuki Gun against the world almost. Because they, obviously the New Japan Seki Gun and New Japan Army of the Faces, LIJs now sort of have beef with them. Chaos has beef with them. Realistically, Suzuki and Kenny Omega are kind of in a little bit of a feud too. And it's just, Suzuki Gun doesn't care who they piss off. They're going to go out there, they're going to do what they're going to do, and they're going to win most of the time because those attractions mostly work. So Evil, however, gets 2 points. Really looking forward to see what they do in a never open weight title match situation down the road, though. And that brings us co-main event time as Kazuchika Okada takes on Satoshi Kojima. Boy, you want to talk about Kojima bringing the fight, trying to really prove that he can stick around and still produce. And boy, does he ever prove that here. He's still channeling Tenzin. He's throwing lariats. At times, it seems like he's one step ahead of Okada, which is really great. And the crowd is so into Kojima, of course, that they're cheering for him as the bell rings and Okada's clapping at the beginning before he turns around, kicks him right in the gut, and goes on to essentially work the cocky heel stuff that he can do throughout the match, and just keeps trying to put the old man down, and Kojima ain't having it. Bread Club won't go away, and Tenzan's on the outside trying to rally Kojima near down the stretch. Okada, however, ends up hitting a bunch of forearms after missing a Rainmaker, hits the tombstone, and then finally connects with the Rainmaker to put Kojima down. But I can't recommend this enough. This is a phenomenal, phenomenal match. And maybe Kojima should be challenging for the Never Open Weight title down the road, too. The dude is still great. And, obviously he might not get a chance to ever challenge for the bigger belts, but having him have a singles run, I don't think was too far out of the question at this point. The dude is amazing. And of course, Okada is Okada at this point, right? We all know what we're going to get. Maybe having the best run out of anybody in wrestling ever right now, as far as champions go. And you put those two in the ring together, they're going to do something like they did. And is awesome. So not to be Top Tower is the main event. Kenny Omega taking on Michael Elgin. We saw this at the G1 special in the USA. They have all that history, of course, during their feud over the Intercontinental Championship. Omega kind of comes out underestimating Elgin, too, or at least willing to mess around with him. He slaps him around. He's raking eyes. And Big Mike, of course, ain't here to play games. He's here to win. And these guys go out there and just absolutely put on a top-notch match of the year candidate. Back and forth, big moves, everything you've come to expect from these guys. They're playing off old stuff. They're putting on new stuff. Michael Elgin ends up taking what is essentially a J-driller for those who watch Ring of Honor, but it's a double underhook pile driver from Kenny Omega. It still doesn't put him away. He eats V-triggers, still not enough, and he was not meant to be denied tonight. Elgin, power bomb, buckle bomb, Elgin bomb, Omega kicks out, so he finally has to kill him with the burning hammer, and that's finally enough to put Omega down, and just go watch this. I don't have enough words or enough time in the world to really put over how great this match was. And this puts a nice little chink in the story now, too, because Omega and Okada had gone undefeated up until this point. Michael Elgin gets the big win, might get the challenge for the U.S. title down the road now. Kenny Omega has to essentially, I think what's going to happen is Okada might remain defeated all the way up to that last night, and Omega will win out to that point too, and beat Okada, and then naturally, seeing as he has the win over Okada, he'll get into the final. And what a great story that would be, right? But there's still a lot of hiccups and a lot of wrenches that Ghetto can throw at us to try to throw us off the scent. And I'm ready and willing to go right along with it. This is just a phenomenal main event. Go watch the show. Once again, not really anything too terrible here, especially if you're into the Yano shtick. If not, it's an easy 5 minutes to skip, and it'll save you a little bit of time as you get to the good stuff. So, once again, phenomenal tournament so far. Maybe, I know people keep saying this every time they see a G1, but this legitimately might be one of the best ones of all time. There's at least something pushing 4 stars or something way over 4 stars pushing into 5 stars every night. And that's just incredible. And Michael Elgin's done it twice now in a week. He had that one match with Okada last week near the end, and then he has this with Kenny. And somebody who might not have been in a great position coming back in from a long hiatus from New Japan has certainly stuck his name right back up there with the big names. And the crowd, I think, really got behind him during this too, even before the bell rang after that match with Okada. So Elgin has just been phenomenal. Everybody's been phenomenal. What more can I say? So I'll just go right to the B-Box standings, because Kazuchika Okada sits king. He's undefeated with 8 points. And then at 6 points, you have Kenny Omega, you have Evil, all at 3-1. You have Tama Tonga, Minoru Suzuki, Sonata, and Michael Elgin all now sitting at 4. Toru Yano and Juice Robinson each have 2. And then Satoshi Kojima remains pointless as well. Once again, only in wins, not in importance to matches, because he's been phenomenal, just as well as Nagata has. So that's the last two G1s, or nights of G1, 7 and 8. We're going into 9 tonight, here in about maybe 30 minutes, 45 minutes or so, depending on how quick they get the stream up. It's been a phenomenal tournament. I've had such a blast, and it's made staying up insanely late worth it every single time. So thank you guys for tuning in. Of course, we're w2net.com is our website. That's where you can find all sorts of great content. This podcast, Jabber's Court, Running Wild, Games to the Max, Football to the Max. There's tons of stuff out there for you to get into. Lots of written work as well. We're also partnered with 411 Mania. Great bunch of guys over there. Thank you, Larry, for letting us, you know, come back in and hanging out with you guys and putting up our shows there. And anywhere else podcasts are, Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, whatever you use to listen to podcasts, you can find us there. Just type in that old Wrestling the Max. Of course, you can go subscribe to us on everything pretty much that there is. Wrestling the Max gets you our show, these shows, all of our stuff that myself, Sean, and Gary do. If you want to subscribe to the whole network, W2M Network, great places to go check out, especially if you just want to listen to something cool. Sean does like half the podcast, so he's great at all this stuff, and we sort of just get to play around with him. So my name is Paul Leeser. Thank you for listening, and everybody have a wonderful night, and keep on watching that G1 tournament, because if you aren't watching it, I feel sad for you. So enough stalling on my part. Have a good night, guys.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.